This is Psalm 27, which can be found on page 557 of the Church Bibles. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Let's pray as we stand. Lord Jesus, that is our prayer, that we would trust you in the good times and in the hard times. And we pray that this morning your word would fuel our trust. Amen. Do you grab a seat? And if you've closed your Bible, do turn it open to Psalm 27, which is on page 557 of the Church Bibles, at least. Life was going pretty well for Catherine until about a month ago when she put her hand on her neck and felt a lump. And it worried her. And the next day, she went to the doctors, and she was quite worried. And within about a month, she'd been diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. And the doctors gave her between 3 and 6 months to live. Sorry. To say that her world has fallen apart would be an understatement. And the thing she finds most hard is that the most probable scenario is this: she's not going to see her kids grow up. She comes to church because she knows it's a good idea, but on the inside, she's really struggling. About 18 months ago, Jack was made redundant. Initially, he saw it as a challenge to get back into the world of work at his age of 55. But since then, he's faced knockback after knockback after knockback. And he's really struggling. So much so that about 3 months ago, he turned to alcohol to numb the pain. And it started off as a Friday night drink, but now it's something he's turning to most days, and even lunchtimes. He comes to church because he knows it's a good idea. He sings the songs because he wants to put on a good show, but inside he's really struggling. And he's feeling scared about the direction that his life is going in. Anna always thought that she would get married young. That was the plan that she had for her life. but it hasn't happened for her. And to be honest, in the last 3 months, she's been really struggling with this. She comes to church on Sunday because that's what she does. She knows it's a good idea. But on the inside, she's really struggling. She's scared about what the future holds. Last night, George's parents sat him down, he and his brother, at the kitchen table, and broke the news to them that they were separating, probably permanently. And it all seemed to come out of absolutely nowhere for George. And ever since that conversation, his mind has just been full of happy memories they've had together as a family. He comes to church, but again, he's really struggling. Catherine, Jack, Anna, and George, all facing very different situations, aren't they? All with one thing in common, though. As they look to the future, they're really scared. And I realize that me saying those things might bring back, for some people in here, painful memories. There might be people in this room who are in the midst of that kind of thing. And if that is you, then church is a great place to be, and you're so welcome here. If you'd like to talk to someone after the service, then come and find me or someone you trust, and we'd love to talk to you. The psalm we're looking at this morning is written by a man called David, who has every reason to feel scared. His enemies are coming straight for him, and he feels overwhelmed. Verse 2, did you notice that? Start of verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me. Verse 3, start of verse 3, though an army besiege me. End of verse 3, though war break out against me. David has every reason to feel scared. Yet, the crazy thing is, he doesn't fear. He doesn't fear. Verse 3, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. On one level, that doesn't seem to make sense, but that's what he says. If there's any situation to be scared of, it's an army besieging you, but David says, my heart will not fear in that situation. So the question it leaves us asking is why? How can that be the case? What is the basis for this confidence? How can David, in a rational kind of thinking way, see his situation and yet not fear? How could we, in any way, see the situations that I described at the start and not be completely petrified by them? And we're going to see two truths in this psalm that meet us, not as kind of concepts, but that meet us in the middle of our fears. And in the past, people have described, I think in a helpful way, some Bible truths as like pillows on which we can rest our weary head. And Psalm 27, I want to say, is a big, fat, soft pillow on which we can rest our weary head. Truth number one, remember, the enemies of God will one day be destroyed. That's what David turns to. Verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, what are we thinking is going to happen? Defeat for David, surely. It is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, victory over enemies. Incredible. In other words, however strong and powerful these enemies look now, there is one who is bigger, one who is stronger, one who will one day wipe them out completely. In a minute, we're going to watch a scene from The Lion King. Put your hand up if you've seen The Lion King before. No. Good, good. And this scene, I think, you can tell me whether or not you agree, this scene is Psalm 27. And you never thought it, would you? Psalm 27 in The Lion King, or The Lion King in Psalm 27. But in case you don't know the film that well, or know it off by heart like some people might, I'll give you a quick summary of what's happened so far. So Simba and Nala, just before this scene, well, in fact, in this scene, have gone to the elephant graveyard. Dun, dun, dun. The place where they've been told by their parents they must not go because it's dangerous. It's outside their territory. But they want to go on an adventure, so they go to the elephant graveyard. And when they get there, lo and behold, danger arrives. The enemies arrive. The hyenas turn up. And it's looking really bad for Simba and Nala. And it looks like their enemies are going to devour them. Let's see what happens. Let's see whether it all ends in defeat for them. It gets better every time, I think. The enemies of God might look powerful now, but what a comfort to know that on the final day, they will be absolutely no match for the God of this universe. And I guess the difference is, God won't just roar like a lion and watch his enemies run away. He will completely wipe them out. There will be no coming back. They'll be gone. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 with me. Which is on page, if you find it before me, then do shout it out. 1:189, thank you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul's writing to a group of Christians who are going through a troubling time, facing enemies. And he says this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you have believed our testimony. However strong a dictator might look now, he is no match for the God of the universe. And one day he will be held to account and totally defeated. However strong the enemies of sickness and pain and addiction might feel now, one day they will be totally gone. That's the first truth to remember. The second truth to remember is that the people of God will be eternally secure. Are eternally secure. More secure than you can ever imagine. That's the drum that David bangs over and over again in this psalm. Let's turn back to Psalm 27, which is on page 557 if you've lost it. More secure than you can ever imagine. That's the repeated refrain of this verse. So just a few examples of that. Verse 1, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If an army is coming towards you and you're on your own with no help, you're not going to last very long. However much you cross your fingers, however much you touch wood, you're not going to last very long. If an army is coming towards you and you are in the castle, in the tower of a big, strong castle, you are completely safe. Even if you don't feel that safe, you are completely safe. Verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. If you're in a big storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, swimming around, you're not going to last very long. If you're in a big storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a massive rock the size of an island, you're going to be okay. The people of God are safe, David's saying. Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. If you're a mother here, happy Mother's Day. According to David, and this is maybe the most shocking example, you are more likely to abandon or reject your child than God is likely to abandon or reject you. In other words, it's never going to happen. We are totally secure as the people of God. One of my favorite days out as a young lad was to Drayton Manor Theme Park. And I'd say my favorite ride at Drayton Manor Theme Park was the roller coaster Shockwave. Who knows Shockwave? Anyone else know Shockwave? Maybe it's gone. Yeah. And it's one of those roller coasters where it would, the start would kind of climb gently up, really slowly. And then you'd arrive at the top and you'd look down, it would kind of slightly tilt you down, and you'd look and see the whole track before you. And you'd see loop the loops and these things called corkscrews, I think, where it's just like that. And you'd be thinking, oh my goodness, this looks really scary. And it was a weird sensation because you would look at the track and you'd think, I feel scared. But then you'd think, actually, I've got a big bar like holding me in place there, another big bar holding me in place there. I'm totally secure. However scary that track looks, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And in a similar way, as we look forward to our lives, we might look at the future and think, oh my goodness, you know, there are things that are going to happen that I don't know how I'm going to cope with them. If we're part of the people of God, if we're trusting Christ, we are totally secure. Let me give you an example of how this has worked out in my life over the last few months. When I was on holiday last summer, my mum saw a mole on my back, and she said, you should get that checked out. I said, no, mum, it'll be fine. This story isn't going where you think it might be going, by the way. She said, mole on your back, get it checked out. No. Eventually, I agreed to go to the doctor. The doctor said, yeah, we should get this checked out. You should go to the hospital. So there's about a three-week period between the doctor's appointment and the hospital appointment where I saw a specialist doctor. I saw the doctor, and she said, you know, it's probably nothing. So we're not going to do anything more. I mean, it's almost certainly nothing. But what I found interesting was that between that initial appointment and the three-week wait till the hospital appointment, where I kind of had a bit more clarity, for the first time in my life, probably, I came face to face with my own mortality. Here is a situation where I'm being forced to kind of confront my own mortality, as I say. And it was a kind of rubber hits the road moment for me. And, you know, that is trivial compared to what some people are going through. But what a comfort to know that the people of God are strapped in, eternally secure, going nowhere. And I think sometimes we can struggle to think about what that actually means. Eternity seems kind of like a vague concept, like a nice thought for some people, but not really grounded. I've got a visual aid. This is a rope, would you believe? And I'd like you to imagine that this rope goes on forever. It doesn't, it sort of stops over there, you can probably see. But it's pretty long, and I'd like you to imagine this rope goes on forever. And this red bit, and it represents, this is a timeline of your existence as a person. And this red bit represents the years that you're going to spend here on this earth. And this blue bit represents everything else, the years of eternity. And what I think is funny is that we spend so much time thinking about this red bit, don't we? We think, I'll get a good degree here, and then I'll do this, and I'll save up to buy this, and then have a retirement here. And we're just consumed with what's going to happen in this red bit. And we don't really give much thought to what's going to happen here. How crazy is that? It doesn't mean that this red bit suddenly becomes insignificant, but you have a much more rational perspective if you suddenly start to consider eternity. If this red bit is all there is, then a cancer diagnosis is earth-shattering. If there's nothing else, it's earth-shattering. If we take into account the blue bit, then a cancer diagnosis, don't get me wrong, is incredibly painful and fully understanding to weep about. We don't want to be trivial. But it's vastly, it gives you a vastly different perspective. If the red bit is all there is, then long-term singleness is tragic. If that's all there is. If we take into account the blue bit, then long-term singleness might be really painful, particularly at times, but we have a completely different perspective. If the red bit is all there is, then, you know, growing old and seeing signs of yourself growing old, you know, that's, you know, it's the end of the game. But if we take into account the blue bit, then we have an amazingly different perspective. Verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. How do you cope when hard times come along? How do you feel as you look at your life kind of stretching out like a roller coaster, maybe? Well, two amazing truths on which to rest our weary heads. Remember, the enemies of God one day will be no more. And secondly, the people of God are totally secure. Let's pray. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. We thank you, Father, that the future that we have to look forward to in eternity is more amazing, more fulfilling, more real than we can even begin to get our heads around. And we pray that we would take comfort in that, particularly when life is hard. In Jesus' name, amen.